and people could order videotapes, for example. They could, and they had any, and an information package and T-shirts. We have a great T-shirt with a Scott Carr on it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's sort of a hot product at the moment.
Oh, I'm going to have one of those, too. All right. Very good. Well, here we go. A lot of people want to talk to you. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Professor Muller. Hi.
Yeah, this is Mike from Covington, Washington.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, great show tonight. And I wanted to kind of touch on the one thing that you were touching on that you didn't really talk too much about, and the fact that where you might get some resistance would actually be the not the auto dealers or the auto manufacturers, but the highway lobby.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it should solve a problem for them, but I'm not certain they would recognize it quite that way.
It seems like they're pretty narrow-minded in the fact that they want to pretty much pave the whole country.
Well, you know, that's true in principle, although if you look at recent studies, there are very few new roads being built. They're having a tough enough time, as you probably know, maintaining what they have. So there's actually, if you look at the curve of building of highways, it's almost coming to an end, just like the railways have come to the end.
And even though there's sort of a renaissance in trying to get them repaired, they've been in a terrible state of disrepair for a long time.
And I also think that the rotary engines are a fascinating motor, obviously. I guess one of the biggest problems they've had forever with that motor is the miles per gallon.
It has historically been poorer than a good four-stroke piston engine. That's true by between 10% and 15%. But our engine is all roller bearing rather than the typical hydrodynamic lubricated engine. We've eliminated a lot of the losses associated with cooling the rotor with oil, which is one of the big considerations.
Doctor, stay good and close to your phone for me.
Sure.
In fact, let me reset you very quickly here. Maybe that will help. You know, I was kind of joking earlier. I really wasn't joking when I said that the cars I had with that engine actually did produce a magnetic field. Have you experimented at all with that? Have you noticed that at all?
No, I haven't. But again, I haven't looked for it either, and I haven't had instrumentation nearby that would have picked that up at this time. Although we use magnetic heading, and that certainly would have interfered with that if what you say is true. So we will look for that. I will keep that in mind when we go into a magnetic heading as part of our navigation system.
One can imagine, though, how that engine, the way it's configured, might create that.
Oh, yes, it does have a motor that could be magnetized, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, wild card line, you're on the air with Professor Muller. Hi.
Hi. This is Pat from Duluth, Minnesota, WEBC 560.
Well, hi there.
Hi. I had two real quick things for you from Minnesota.
Sure.
They are studying mutant dragonflies that they've been finding now. And, you know, some of the first mutant frogs came from Minnesota. Now they're checking out mutant dragonflies.
Great.
And we had straight-line winds over the 4th of July that took down what they're estimating at 25 million trees.
My God.
In the Boundary Waters Canoe area and just north of there near the Canadian border.
Wow.
And my question for the doctor would be, would this be efficient for, like, short flights, like, say, 30 miles, or is this mainly for something, say, maybe 100 miles or beyond would be when it would be used, and the rest of the time you would use a normal car for, say, shorter trips of 30 miles or 50 miles?
That's a very good question.
It's a very good question. The vision I would have would be this vehicle would be used typically, and, of course, it certainly could be used for 30 miles, but typically for 50 miles and above. And below 50 miles, I think electric cars finally would be useful. They certainly aren't useful today for any reasonable speeds and any reasonable distances. But if this Sky car were available for the average person for those 50-mile or even 30-mile trips and further, then you'll have all kinds of electric cars that could be picked up just at the curb, put in your credit card and drive it where you need to drive it, and take off from there with a Sky car.
There you are.
And then you would still have your car manufacturers and to some degree with your highways and stuff, you would just be lessening
right.
the load.
We'd be offloading the load, which is now almost terminal. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. They're not planning to build more freeways, and if they don't build more freeways, I can't imagine what's going to happen in places like the Bay Area in the next 10 years.
And what would be, I think you probably mentioned this at the beginning, but what would be, at this time, what is the maximum distance?
900 miles is the range of the vehicle.
So you could go 900 miles, refuel?
And then you could refuel at any automotive gas station.
All right. Any automotive gas station? Really? So it could use, it could burn regular...
We've never run any of our aircraft with anything but regular unleaded, the lowest octane we can find.
Wow.
Works very, very well. In fact, particularly well on the lowest octane. We'd like to see 80 octane, which would be even cheaper, but there's none available.
Holy smokes. So in other words, current gas stations with perhaps some modification could service.
Sure, we just land. Probably what we do is many of these gas stations have a flat roof. We just land on the roof and refuel.
What about, that would require, of course, being part of the air traffic system, wouldn't it?
There would have to be air lanes into specific gas stations that would be designated, that would be controlled. But again, with automation and the ability to control a lot of data at the same time, I don't see any problem with any of that.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Professor Muller. Good morning.
Hi, this is Mike from Dallas.
Hi, Mike.
I got two questions for the doctor. What kind of marketing does he have set up? And how many of these air cars will he have to produce to get the cost below $100,000?
Both good questions.
Our own studies and the Boeing aircraft study as well show that we'd have to produce about 100,000, which is a very small number relative to automobiles, as you well know. I guess in America, they produce about 15 million a year.
Right.
So that wouldn't be that difficult. They'd go below 100,000. And the other question, I'm sorry, was...
Well, marketing.
We haven't done a lot of marketing simply because we've been, people have been coming to us, and since we're not really producing in volume, we've actually had people giving us deposits and forcing us to give them delivery positions because they wanted to be part of it. But we haven't done any marketing at this time.
Can you tell us who's going to get the first one?
Actually, I don't really remember the name of the first individual. But
I would have thought that might have been you.
Well, I'm up there in one of the early ones, and so is most of some of the people in my company. But
I see. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Professor Muller. Hi.
Hi, Professor Muller. I was wondering, on the deluxe models of your Sky Car, what luxury options would you be offering?
Well, the vehicle itself has some fairly sophisticated electronic screens on board, which could easily be used to present any kind of information. You could pull in satellite information, you could pull in TV shows, you could do a lot of other things of that nature. And certainly if you get the, you're going to have air conditioning as something that's an accessory, but could be very important.
So good heating in 25,000 feet.
Heating's really not a problem. We produce lots of heat with the engines. But air conditioning obviously is an add-on that does entail some expense. And, of course, electric motors built into the wheels to move it out of your garage without starting the engine is something that we've certainly considered. There's many things that would make it convenient for the individual, and including what we call mutual noise cancellation, which is when we generate an anti-noise to counteract the noise by the aircraft so it can become very quiet. These would all be add-ons, and they would entail some expense.
A lot of that is military technology. Yeah.
A lot of that is military, but it's available.
Caller?
Yes, I was also wondering, have you heard any protests from any environmental groups?
Well, no, actually, because the some of the major environmental groups are our greatest advocates. The Blue Water Network, for example, I guess, which is funded to a great degree by Ted Turner, who go about trying to get non-polluting technology out there, have been one of our biggest supporters because our engine has passed the California Air Resources Board at a very, very low emission level. So we they love us. They think our engine is marvelous.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. To line one, first time caller line, actually. You're on the air Professor Mueller. Hi.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
This is Bob out of New Mexico, Alamogordo.
Right.
And used to live in Sacramento and followed your career as much as it hit the news media with great interest.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you, I don't know if you, I came in kind of late, so to speak. I don't know if you talked a lot about the 150.
No, we haven't because that's a single passenger version or perhaps stretched a little bit, a tandem two-seater, which we have put together, but we haven't, it'll follow the test flight to the 400, maybe by not more than a few months, but it's what the caller is referring to is a single passenger, very sleek vehicle that again is shown on our internet site that you described earlier.
Do you have any profiles for what it's going to cost?
The 150 is about half the cost of the M400, and it would follow that on down pretty consistently. As the M400 drops in half, the 150 will drop in half as well.
And if nobody said it, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm very much, like everybody else in America, probably looking forward to flying this thing. And the idea of being able to fly with my hands instead of my hands, my feet look out the window and juggle at the same time is really nice. Also, Art, I'd just like to point out, I've been a long-time listener of yours. I just really wish you could schedule, say, one day a week to be boring so that we could get some sleep. It's cutting into things.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir, and take care. The time is short now with the professor. So, Professor, is there anything tonight that you wanted to get in that somehow we didn't cover?
No, I think that you, through your callers and your own questions, we've covered it. We've done a pretty good job. It is a big story in a sense that obviously I've been with it for 30 years, so I never get to say what all the details because I don't think everybody would want to hear about them.
Well, everybody does want to hear about them. No,
yeah, they go on to you know, they go on from the time that. We started working with a mechanical version of the Hummingbird, and obviously we're getting to that point where we really are close to replicating that kind of capability, and that's exciting, terribly exciting for us.
Oh, it sure is. From Virginia Beach comes this question. Not everybody's going to have enough money, even when the price comes down, but what about the Sky Car as a checkered cab?
That's probably the best question that anybody could really ask. And in fact, one of the things that the Boeing Aircraft Company did that we thought was very good is they did an extensive study and did an economic evaluation of these cars as lease cars or rental cars. And that's exactly where they thought this vehicle would end up. You would dial a local cab company, the vehicle would end up at your doorstep within a minute or 30 seconds. You go outside, you prime it, it'll take you exactly where you want to go at 300 miles an hour.
See the movie with Bruce Willis?
Oh, yes.
It wouldn't be like that, would it?
No, it wouldn't be like that. It's an interesting concept, but that would not be an environment I would want to fly in.
Nor I. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Professor Mueller. Hi.
Hi, Professor Mueller. On Art, this is Brad in Colesville, Washington.
Hi, Brad.
And I may have missed this, and you may have already covered it, but if this is an automatically instructed vehicle, what is going on in case of computer failure? What is there for backup?
Backup.
Well, there are backup systems, global systems, for controlling. So obviously, there's a very large number of global positioning satellites, so as long as you can see a couple of them, you're still okay. The vehicle itself has multiple engines and can operate with a number of those engines failed. It can fly horizontally with a number failed. It can land with one failed. We do have, as I mentioned earlier, parachutes built into the airframe itself that deploy in the worst of all worlds if you run into a flock of geese or something and you take out all your engines. But that's you know, fairly unlikely because the vehicle does make some noise and would probably avoid that.
Well, I've been waiting for years to hear of a development like this. Really great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And thank you as much as possible.
Great. Thank you
All right.
calling.
Thank you. And I would presume, Doctor, that not only the videotapes, but I guess if you were really hot, you could get on the list. For whatever amount of dollars it takes, $25,000, $5,000. get on the list. That's not much at all.
That gets a delivery. And it's a of course, it's a refundable deposit that, that people can get back if they change their mind.
Are you, oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Are you taking investors as well?
Oh, we're always looking for that. Of course, you know, we have some restrictions of what we can take normally if the investor is needs to be qualified, because we are not a public company, so we have to make sure that they satisfy certain rules. However, sometimes people can call in and get stock from existing stockholders, which
uh-huh.
we have no control over, and a lot of people have become stockholders by doing that. So there is a number of possibilities, and we will be going public here within the next year, which would allow everybody to participate.
Well, that'll be some kind of IPO. All right, Professor, it has been a real pleasure having you on tonight and being able to pick your brain, which is quite a considerable brain. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Good night, and good luck on the phones tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
I'll see you later. Actually, later today, Professor Paul Mahler and the Flying Car.